I'm going to ask you to turn back with me in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, where last Sunday we began a new series through this profound letter written by the Apostle Paul. And one of the things we noticed from the introduction of this letter, which consists of verses 1 through 7, is that Paul seems to distill for us and summarize for us the very essence of his entire letter, all 16 chapters. And so, with that in mind, I'd like for us to begin by reading through Paul's introduction once again, beginning verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom ye also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we focused on the first four verses, and we learned about the essence of the gospel. The essence of the letter is in the introduction, and the essence of the introduction is the gospel. It's the grace of the gospel that we read about in verse 1, the ground of the gospel, the Holy Scripture in verse 2, and the glory of the gospel from verses 3 and 4, none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The essence of the gospel. Well, this morning we're going to continue and focus on the last three verses of this introduction, where we find in verse 6 that we just read a very special description of Christians, for Christians. So if you believe in and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are, what it says there, the called of Jesus Christ. The called of Jesus Christ. Now I know last week in our message I used our dog Willow as an illustration. Well, I'm going to use her again this week as well. So just don't tell her if you see her, all right? Well, not long after we got Willow, it's been 4 years now, almost five. Hard to believe that. Not long after we got her, we tried to train her. And, of course, the emphasis is on the word tried, right? I think she trained us more than we trained her. But one of the things I tried and am still trying to train her to do was to come when she's called. To come when she's called. Now, we've had mixed success. Sometimes she does come when she's called, and usually when I put my hand in my pocket, because she thinks I've got a little treat for her. Or when I hold my hand up, because she thinks in my hand is the treat. And I've got her fooled some of the times. But then, a lot of other times, because she gets distracted like dogs do, she won't come when she's called. So we still have something to work on. But at times it can be very frustrating, as you probably well know if you've ever tried to train a dog. Because there may be a time when she really does need to listen to my voice. When she really does need to come when she's called. Maybe she's playing in the road or near the road, as she often does, and a car's coming. And I call her. I call her to get away from the road because I care for her and I don't want her to get hurt. And so my goal for training Willow is so that she will keep on coming whenever I call her. The goal is not for it to be associated with a treat, but that she'll just come because she wants to please me as her master. She wants to hear my voice. Now, I know that you are nothing like dogs. But when Paul says that you, along with those Christians in ancient Rome, are the called of Jesus Christ, I'm sure he has another animal in mind. Sheep, right? Sheep. In fact, in John 10:27, Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that what sheep are supposed to do? They're supposed to follow the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus goes on, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So Jesus here describes you and me as his sheep. And like the good shepherd that he is, he called you to follow him. He called you because he cares for you. Isn't that a blessing to be a child of God? He called you because he cares for you. And when you heard his voice for that very first time, what did you do? Think back in your own testimony. Think about back when you heard that voice. Maybe you heard the Bible many times before, but that one time, that one moment, that one service, you heard his voice and you came. You came by faith in what the Lord Jesus did for you. You answered his call. And now, what the Lord wants is for you who believe in him and belong to him today is to keep on coming to that call. Keep on coming to your call. And so he wants to encourage you to do so. And I think that's why we find in these three verses at the end of the introduction this information about our call. In verse 5, the Lord wants you to know that there is a special purpose for your call. A special purpose, just like there was for Paul. Now, we've already learned a little bit about Paul's call from the Lord in verse 1. We've also learned some about his call when we went through the book of Acts last year, and we explored how he was called by the Lord on that road to Damascus by that bright light of the glory of God, the glory of Christ, even brighter than the sun. Well, in verse 5, he expands on that call when he writes these words, "By whom," pointing back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who called him on that road, "by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his, Christ's, name." So here in verse 5, Paul is just really wanting to reintroduce himself to the Romans. They knew about him. They knew something about Paul. They had heard about him, but they'd never actually met him. So even though they never met, Paul wants them to know that he still has an interest in them, that he still cares for them. And as the apostle of the Gentiles, he still has a ministry to them. And that's part of the reason for this introduction. Because he's going to get into a lot of weighty and meaty material in the book of Romans. And he wants them to realize, hey, I'm your apostle too. What I say to you applies to you. And so he further describes his own call from Jesus. And when he does, I think you can see that you have the same purpose for your call when Jesus called you as well. So what is this purpose that Paul had? What is this purpose that we have in God's call? First of all, it's to extend the Lord's grace. To extend the Lord's grace. When Paul says, we have received grace and apostleship, there are many who believe that he's using a writer's we instead of I. And that might be the case. He may not be including all of the other apostles. He may certainly not be including all of the people there in Rome. He may just be talking about himself. But that's not the main point. The main point that he's making is that he freely received God's special grace when he was converted. When he trusted Jesus as a Savior there on the road to Damascus. He received God's special grace freely. After all, remember his testimony? Paul was a persecutor of the church of God. He was the one that consented to the murder of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And yet the Lord Jesus would not let him go. The Lord Jesus called him to become his. He called him with special grace. And then, Paul adds, he freely received God's special gift of apostleship. Jesus actually said, okay, I'm calling you, Paul, to now send you to be my servant. Just like all of those other Old Testament prophets that you have read about, that you're familiar with, that said that they were my servant, now you are my servant. And I'm going to send you as my special apostle into this world of Gentiles to share the gospel with them. A special grace, a special gift. And now, Paul says, since he had freely received these things, he wants to freely give them, just as Jesus himself told his disciples to do in Matthew 10:8. Freely ye have received, freely give. This is part of the purpose for Paul's call from God. If you really think about it, it mirrors your own purpose for being called by God. Your purpose is also to freely give and to freely extend the grace that God has extended to you and the gifts that God has extended to you. Is that your purpose today? It's so easy to get caught up in this world to freely get, but not necessarily to freely give. This is part of the reason why the Lord called you. To give, to extend that grace, to extend His gifts to others, but also it was to expand the Lord's gospel. To expand the Lord's gospel. Paul further explains in verse 5 that the reason he received his grace and apostleship was this: for obedience to the faith among all nations. It can also be translated for the obedience of faith among all nations. What we find here is the target of Paul's new life and ministry. His target. Remember, Bob and Dottie were involved in a ministry that dealt with archery. And if you know anything about archery, you're going to have a bow and arrow and you're going to have a target. The goal is to hit that target. And if you get any good, the goal is to hit the center of that target. Or you can be like Robin Hood and hit the center of the arrow that's in the center of the target. Now that's pretty good, right? Well, the Olympics are coming up. And archery is one of those Olympic sports, believe it or not. And the interesting thing about that particular sport is that they might have the same target. And to show their skill, they move that target backwards and further away from the archer. The goal is still the same. The target's still the same. It just gets further and further and further. And that is what Paul is saying his ministry and his aim was for. His target is sharing the gospel further and further and further out into this world, among the nations and among the Gentiles. Paul took aim at the target of the Gentile world so that they too could hear and respond to the gospel. How? Through the obedience of faith. This is a beautiful phrase that we find here in the introduction of Romans. We find it again later at the end of Romans as well. But this phrase, obedience of faith, describes your own response to God's call. Obedience of faith. It means that when God called you, it was so that as one of his sheep, you would hear his voice and then willingly come with all of your heart. You know, sometimes when I call our dog, she doesn't come so willingly, unless she sees that treat. But God called us so that we would respond with this obedience of faith. It is so that your faith in Christ would be counted as obedience to his call. Isn't this how God called Abraham? He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, I'm going to bless you through a seed that is going to come. It was a messianic promise. And what does the Bible say? Abraham believed, and God counted that faith for his righteousness. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a sweet thing for those who know Christ? Is that when you come to faith, that faith is then counted for your obedience. But then on the opposite side, it also means that your obedience to Christ, which is what God desires and what gives us the delight, will flow from your very faith in that call. Faith and obedience. Obedience and faith. Two sides of that same coin. But what a wonderful thing that Paul was extending this gospel so people could obey and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ just like we have. So now, just as the arrow of God's call stuck in the target of your own heart, it is now your turn and my turn to take aim with the arrow of the gospel at the targets of other people's hearts. It's to expand the reach of the gospel to all nations so that they too can, by God's grace, respond through the obedience of faith. And that still is the purpose of your call, to extend the gospel, to expand the gospel, but then even further, to exalt the Lord's glory. To exalt the Lord's glory, which is what Paul means when he adds at the very end of verse 5 these words, for his name. For his name. He means that all that he is doing, following after the call of God, is for the sake of and the very glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that that is ultimately why Paul was called? That is ultimately why he was called, to exalt and glorify the Lord. And that ultimately is why you were called. Now, it certainly is for your good, but it's not merely for your good. Even though there's a lot of good in the gospel, there's a lot of benefits for those who come to faith in Christ. But do you realize that even your salvation is first and foremost for His name, for the glory of Christ? Isn't it a thing of wonder that in some way Jesus is glorified in your call and in your salvation? I think David even said this when he said, "What is man? Thou art mindful of him." And yet, He calls us. He calls us because He cares for us. And He cares for us because He wants to be with us and He wants us to be with Him. He is glorified when we trust in Him. He is glorified when we obey in faith. So now, even though we are not apostles in the same way that the apostle was, yet you too received God's grace. And since it is an amazing and astounding and an abundant grace, you have the same purpose: to extend that grace, to expand the gospel, to exalt and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what your life now can be and should be. Even as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Do you realize that before you came to faith, the obedience of faith, you could not glorify God at all? You could not please Him at all. You could not do anything that would honor His name. But now, since you've answered that call, you can please Him. You can glorify Him. You can exalt His name. And that is why He called you. But then you can also see that there is a special plan for your call. A special plan which we find in verse 6 as well as the first part of verse 7. As Paul now turns his attention to the very audience of his letter. At verse 1 he says, "I'm Paul, I'm the one writing." And now in verse 7 he says, "To those who are in Rome, this is my audience." And he explains just who they are, and really who we are as the called of Jesus Christ. Again, picking up in verse 7, "Among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ?" Just like I was called, you've been called. You are the called of Jesus Christ. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." In verse 6, when Paul writes, "Among whom are ye also the called," I think he wanted those Roman Christians to realize that they too were included in God's plan and in God's call. You see, they might have started to feel and to think that since they were among the Gentiles and the nations, far removed from that special place of God, the nation of Israel, or far removed from the special people of God, the Jews, that perhaps they must also be far removed from God's special plan. You see, the church in Rome was different than a lot of the other churches that we read about in the New Testament. When Paul writes these words, no apostle had as yet ever visited them. Paul hadn't been there. Not even the apostle Peter had been there, in spite of what the Roman Catholic Church tries to claim. The churches in that city, the central city of the Roman Empire, were established only as Christians came to Rome in the normal course of their lives. If you remember in Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, when it describes how there are Jews from every nation under heaven, and one of the places that is indicated is Jews from Rome. Perhaps some of those Jews were among the 3,000 that were saved that very first day and went back to Rome and carried this good news, carried this wonderful message of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, and as they shared it in their synagogues, it started to spread. And then some of the God-fearers, the Gentile God-fearers who were in those synagogues, heard about this plan of salvation and realized it was their own. And they spread it to their friends. They spread it to their family members. They spread it all throughout the Roman city, so that by the time Paul is writing this, the church had grown. Even Priscilla and Aquila, Paul's friends who he met in the city of Corinth, they had a church in their house, as we will see later on in this letter. So no apostle had visited them. It was established by regular, ordinary Christians as they sought to live their life to the glory of God. But Paul puts an end to this kind of thinking that even though no apostle had ever visited him, no very special preacher perhaps, he wanted them to know that the sound of God's call knows no bounds. It doesn't matter how far away you are from Jerusalem. The sound of God's call knows no bounds. Now this is unlike when I call after Willow. My voice can only go so far. I've seen her off in the distance, and I've tried to call her, and she's either ignoring me or she can't hear me, because my voice may not go as far. There will come a point when she won't respond because she can't hear. This is not so with the Lord. Remember what Jesus said again in John 10? My sheep hear my voice. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in Rome or Jerusalem or the uttermost part of the earth. My sheep hear my voice. You are the called of Jesus Christ because you belong to the Lord. You are His people. You are the called of Jesus Christ. You are the sheep of His pasture, it says in Psalm 100, verse 3. And what the Lord said to His people back in the Old Testament applies to you today. Remember these words to Isaiah, Isaiah 43, 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You know, when Jesus called you, it implied that you belong to Him. You belong to Him. Your call to Christ is one of the proofs and evidences that you belong to Him. Even as when I call my dog by His name, by her name, to come, it shows the entire neighborhood that that dog is mine. And when God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, it showed to the world that you belong to Him. And since you belong to the Lord, keep on coming to that call. Keep on coming. You are also called because you are beloved to the Lord. Beloved, verse 7, believers are the beloved of God. Now, God's special love for His people is a major theme in the book of Romans. You can find love all throughout this letter. The word beloved is used of His people some 7 times in the entire book of Romans. Now, you might not feel loved by others in this world. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school, how the Psalms can become more value to us as we see the world turning against the church. You may not feel loved by others in this world, or even sometimes you may not feel the love from those who are supposed to love you. Maybe from your family. There's estrangement all the time within families, even Christian families, or even friends. Friends that you have known for so long, and yet, for some reason, there's been an estrangement there, and there's been a problem. But what about even your church? Sometimes you may not even feel the love from those who should exercise the love of Christ to you, and you don't feel it. The call of God is what reassures you that He loves you. That's a blessing. It doesn't matter how the world feels about you. It doesn't even matter if the church ignores you, and He loves you. You are His beloved. Psalm 17:8 says, you are the apple of His eye, and He loves you with an infinite and inseparable love. Remember what the Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31:3? He says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Think about that the next time you think about your testimony. Think about that the next time you think about your call from the Lord Jesus Christ. The basis of that call was His eternal, infinite, everlasting love for you and for me. That's why He says in Jeremiah, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's the call of God. Of course, later in Romans, Paul will beautifully declare that absolutely nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The end of Romans 8. We think of brothers and sisters in Christ who may not feel loved when they are being persecuted for their faith, when they are imprisoned for their faith, and maybe they are isolated from the world, they're isolated from their brothers, they're isolated from the church, but they are not isolated from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because you are called. You are the called of Jesus Christ. But even more, you are called because you will become like the Lord. You will become like the Lord. Not only were you the called of Jesus Christ, verse 7, you were also called to be saints. The word translated saint here comes from the word that simply means holy. Holy. So you were called to be one of God's holy ones. Now, even though true holiness is something that awaits your heavenly future, it still does await you in your heavenly future. You will be holy someday, even though you struggle with sin, even though you struggle with temptation, even though you struggle through these times in your life. You will be holy as He is holy. But you don't have to wait to become a saint. You are already a saint. You are already His holy one. It's not just something in the future. It is something that applies to the present. You are still His saint because He has already cleansed you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future, for those who are called. He has already consecrated you to Himself and to His service. You belong to Him, and now you can serve Him. You can now commit yourself to the Lord every single day to please Him. This has been God's plan all along when He called you to be His own. So keep coming to your call. Don't ignore it. Don't give up on it. Remember that call and hear that call even more fresh today than it ever was before. And then Paul ends his introduction with these familiar words. Now, even though they're familiar, we see that there is still a special prayer for your call in these words. A special prayer. A special prayer that Paul actually utters in every single one of his letters in one form or another. What are those words? The end of verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you probably heard those words before if you've gone through your New Testament? In fact, you can go to each one of Paul's letters and find those words in one way or the other. Sometimes he adds mercy. Sometimes he'll shorten the name the Lord Jesus Christ. One way or the other, it's there. But in the times when Paul wrote these words, it was a very common thing for a Jew to greet another Jew with that Hebrew word, shalom. You might even hear it today. What does that word mean? Peace. Peace. Shalom. It was also a very common thing in the Greek-speaking world for a Greek-speaking Roman to greet someone with a Greek word, kyrene, from which we get our word, grace. Kyrene simply meant joy. So that was their greeting. Hey, joy to you. Joy to you. So it seems like Paul takes these two very common greetings in the Jewish world and in the Greek-speaking world, joins them together, and turns them into a special Christian greeting and prayer. He doesn't just go to these churches and says, hi. No. He seeks after and wishes for them more of what they already have in Christ, grace and peace. And more of what they really need most, grace and peace. Do you realize that the grace and peace that God gave us at salvation is something that we need every single day of our lives? We need it to grow. We need it more. Grace and peace. These two words are so rich in meaning to believers because, as James Denny once said, they are the very sum of all evangelical blessing. Grace and peace. The summary statement of all the blessings that you have in the gospel, grace and peace. So keep coming to your call from the Lord. You need more of His grace and peace. So like Paul, keep praying for the great gifts of the gospel. The gifts of God's grace and God's peace. Not just for others, but even for yourself. And these gifts will lead you to have an even greater assurance of all that is done for you. Isn't that what God's grace is all about? All is done. All is done. You don't have to do anything more than what you've already done. The obedience of faith, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, is all that you need to do to trust in Him and receive forgiveness for your sin. And grace says, all is done. All is done. Jesus said, it is finished. The hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All is done. But it also means that all is well with you. All is done and all is well. That's what God's peace is all about, isn't it? All is well. Yes, we have trials. Yes, we go through temptations. Yes, we have experienced tragedies in our life. But for the soul who has responded in the obedience of faith to the gospel, you can say in your heart, all is well. So keep praying and keep calling to the great giver of these gifts, the great giver of the gospel. Look at verse 7 again. These come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the false gods that the Romans were familiar with were not known for their grace. And they certainly weren't known for their peace. In fact, some of their gods were the gods of war. Well, the Romans in that time would have been reminded of those gods at every turn. Their temples were all over the city of Rome. We experienced something like this when we took our trip to Rome. There is a church at every turn. Well, back then, there was a temple at every turn. Instead of Roman Catholic churches, there were temples. And some of those temples are actually still standing today. But the true God, who is now their God, and the true God, who is now your God, is your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. They did not know these gods as fathers. They knew them as judges. And this heavenly Father will provide for you all that you need with his grace and peace. Remember these words from Jesus in Matthew 7? When he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? What grace from your Father. What peace from your Father. What a Father! But then Jesus Christ, as Lord, will also protect you through his grace and through his peace. And you know that God's answer to this prayer, grace to you and peace, is what will enable you to keep coming to your call. To keep coming to that call. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, don't you need help to keep answering your call from God? Why? Well, because so often we are distracted from that call. When I call Willow to come, it doesn't take a whole lot to distract her. In fact, Tim can attest to this as he's walking Blitz down the road. I'll say, Willow, come. She sees Blitz and Tim, and she won't come. She'll just keep running. She's distracted. All it takes is Tim and his dog or a mail carrier, who I've told Willow time and again, is actually coming to give us stuff. He's not there to kill us. He's there to give us stuff, and we like the mail carrier. But oh, she doesn't like them. And so she's distracted when I say come. All it takes is something like that to distract. And yet, aren't we distracted in the same way from that call? So often we see something that we think is better. Or we hear something that is more interesting. Or we want to do something that seems to us to be more enjoyable. And we are so easily distracted. Because sometimes the time and distance between you and the Lord who called you seems so long and so far. And yet it's not. Sometimes the path on which you are running to reach the one who called you feels too rough. And you are all too easily distracted. By God's grace, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He called you. He's the one who called you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, who called you, because he cares for you. Now, keep coming to your call. You don't have to wait for another call. He's already called you. Keep coming to that call. And remember today the special purpose and the special plan and the special prayer that God had for you when He called you. Keep coming to that call. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the call of Jesus Christ. The call that says to a sinner like us, to sinners like Paul, to criminals against the law of heaven, come unto Me, and I will give you rest. Look to Me. Learn of Me. And by Your grace, O Lord, You enabled us to answer and respond to that call by the obedience of faith. A faith that is counted for obedience to us because we were so disobedient to You. But also, Lord, a faith that will lead to obedience because now You have implanted in our hearts Your law and Your Spirit so that we can follow after You with all of our heart and soul. What You instituted in the Garden of Eden, where You were able to walk in the garden in the cool of the day in fellowship with Your creatures, Adam and Eve, oh Lord, You've restored already in the hearts and lives of those You've called, of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation from sin. And so, Lord, I pray that first and foremost, all who are here have responded to that call. And if, Lord, they haven't, I pray that You will open their eyes and open their ears right this very moment to hear the call of Christ, who says, "O sinner, come home. O sinner, come home." Jesus Christ died for them. Jesus Christ rose for them. Jesus Christ now ever lives for them. Oh, Father, I pray that they will heed that call and respond with the obedience of faith. Turn them from their darkness unto Your light, O Lord. Help them to say, "Lord, I believe. Now help mine unbelief." The Father, for those who have heard that call, who have answered that call, help them to realize and to remember, even as we continue to answer that call, as we continue to come to that call, help us to remember that You have a purpose for that call. It is ultimately to glorify You. Oh, Lord, what a wonder. A wonder that in a jar of clay, like we are, we can now glorify You in our bodies and in our spirits, which all belong to You as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I pray that we will remember that purpose each day, to glorify You, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, that we might glorify You. Help us, Lord, to remember the plan of that call, that, Lord, You called us because we belong to You. We are beloved to You. And someday, Lord, we will be like You. You have called us so that we can be Yours and that we can enjoy an eternity with You in heaven. Oh, Lord, I pray that we will remember that plan whenever we get down, whenever we get distracted, whenever we feel like there's no one in this world who loves us or even loves You. Sometimes we feel like Elijah. We get discouraged and depressed. And yet, Lord, You need to open our eyes to see that there's still a remnant. You still reserved some for Yourself. And Lord, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate Your sheep from Your love. We thank You, O Lord, that You called us because You cared for us. And then, Lord, help us to remember this prayer. When we realize that we cannot answer Your call by our own strength, that, Lord, we cannot respond and we cannot keep coming in our own strength. We are so easily and so soon distracted. Lord, it's so easy to hear a message like this and to be so fired up because of that call, and to be fired up to want to follow after You with all of our heart and soul. And yet, in just a couple of hours, what is said here, and even what is committed to here, sometimes just goes out the window. Lord, we know that. We are flesh. You know that. And that is why Paul offers this prayer for all of God's people to meet all of those needs that we have. A prayer for grace and prayer for peace. Lord, we have it in Christ. And now, Lord, I pray that we will grow in your grace, that, Lord, we will grow in that peace because we know that it comes from you, it comes from our Savior, it comes through your Spirit. It is a Trinitarian blessing to those who believe in you. So, Father, I pray that through that grace, through that peace, we will keep on coming to our call. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.